The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, our next guest has a regular column in the Irish Times, which encourages people to get running. And she has a new book called Get Running, Forget the Gym, Get Fit, Have Fun. Mary Jennings, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM. Why running in preference to other forms of exercise?
For me personally, I get great freedom and great release from it and plenty of energy and plenty of headspace as well too. I'm not saying that running is the only way to get fit or to feel good, but I think for a lot of people, they have an impression in their head that you have to be in a gym and you have to be, you know, indoors and that type of thing to lose weight or to feel good or to get fit. But for many people, they find that quite intimidating. And certainly they're spending a lot of their time indoors, you know, whether it's working in the car and then going back inside again. But I just think if the gym might not be for you, consider other ways of getting fit. And outdoors is my preference. And whether it's walking or running or cycling or getting out, it's a whole different world out there as well too.
Does it not depend though a lot on your body profile and body shape, that for an awful lot of people, running isn't necessarily as suitable as other forms of exercise because they're naturally bigger in shape and size?
Yeah, I think it also depends on the person, where you're coming from. I mean, if you've never walked before, I certainly wouldn't be saying go from nothing to out the door and start running. If you have a comfortable walking routine and you look at runners and you think, God, I'd love to be able to do what they're doing. Absolutely, give it a shot. But I'm not saying it's the only one way for people to move. And based on your different levels and your different, I suppose you say, sizes and things like that, it's actually how you run as opposed to running itself that can be a problem for some people.
Which is interesting because if you go to a gym, you're taught how to use the machines. Or if you do a sport, you're taught how to actually, through repetition, swing a club or whatever it is you might be doing, or a racket if you're playing tennis, just as an example. How many people actually learn how to run properly, learn the technique of how their foot should be striking the ground?
Very few, to be honest. And a lot of the times people come to that as a last resort after being injured and going to see therapists and various people to try and fix the problem. So they're looking for solutions rather than trying to think out maybe it is how I'm hitting the ground or how I'm moving that might be the problem. And not actually only is it just the half an hour a day or whenever they're outside, it's what we're doing the rest of our time as well. You know, we're sitting down a lot. We are wearing high heels, some of us, and then we go out the door and expect to be able to move and run effortlessly. So it's our whole lifestyle really that combines to maybe running and walking and getting outside, maybe not being as comfortable for people initially.
Are there running teachers or coaches out there who can actually show you how to do it properly?
Yes, there sure are. What I coach is a running technique called chi running, which is very popular. And it's all about learning how to run in a way that's much less impact on your body, take the pressure off your joints and learn to run more effortlessly and more enjoyably rather than being someone, you know, we all know a runner that we know maybe that looks tense and tight and uncomfortable. But then you probably know someone who you see go past on the road and they look effortless and like they're enjoying it. Our aim with coach is coaching people to run in a way that they use their skeleton and they use the muscles in their whole body rather than just their lower legs to power their run.
Describe it a little bit more. I mean, how do you actually do it? What sort of posture do you need? What use of your arms? Where do your feet, which parts of your feet do you hit the ground with?
Okay, well, anyone who is running already has probably heard of the word heel striker, and that has been linked to a lot of running injuries. And that basically means where your heel is the first part of your foot to hit the ground when you run. And what happens when you do that is generally if you imagine someone running, they put a foot out in front of them, the heel hits the ground. That actually is a brake. So now you've kind of put a brake on yourself and now you need to accelerate. So then your back foot has to push up on its toes and use all the muscles in the lower foot and the lower leg to power itself upwards and forward. And then you come back down on the next heel. So if that's how you run, there's an awful lot of pressure and pounding going through the body. But what we coach is a technique called chi running, which basically teaches you how to hit the ground underneath your body rather than out in front. And when you hit the ground underneath your body, it's hard to describe on radio, but your foot hits the ground from the middle of the foot rather than the heel.
So does that almost suggest that your body almost has to be tilted forward slightly?
It's almost like your body is being pulled forward, like you're a dog on a lead or you have a string from your chest, like something in front is like a magnet pulling you forward.
So you're running almost as if not quite falling over, but towards
moving forward. We actually talk a lot about moving from your center. So you're feeling that part of your body is moving ahead of your legs. So if you think of the old cartoon, a roadrunner, your body's moving and the feet are keeping up with the body. a really nice way for someone to try it if they were going for a run tonight is imagine if you're on a treadmill inside. So if you picture the road being an outdoor treadmill, if the road moves, all you need to do is pick up your feet to let the ground disappear underneath you. And if you imagine that being your running movement, that you're focusing on the lightly picking your feet up off the ground rather than the heavy pounding of going each step being downwards, then it's much, much lighter on your body. And you get the added bonus of one thing that's free to all of us outside, which is gravity. So if your upper body is slightly ahead of your lower body, gravity kicks in as well. And it's an extra bonus to help power you forward as well. So it's like you're being pulled forward rather than you having to push yourself forward.
Okay, how much running do you do?
It's varied over the years. I have a little 2-year-old now, so my time isn't as free as it was before. But previous to him being born, I would have done a lot of marathons and ultramarathon distance. But I was not a sporty person in school or anything until I was in my mid-20s. I got introduced to it through friends and work and very slowly built up. So because I don't have a sporting background, I'm still in awe of the fact I can do it and still interested and curious about it. But when I'm running myself, I suppose I'm coaching a couple of nights a week as well. And then maybe once or twice a week myself, I'll get out on my own to clear my head. But I'm not training for anything specifically at the moment. I think everyone goes through phases. I've done a lot of the long distance running. I've done park runs and all those kind of things as well. But I think depending on the different stage you are in life, you have different priorities and how it fits in.
Yeah, but does it become addictive?
Oh, yeah, it can be. Absolutely. Everyone knows someone who does nothing but talk about running or is always thinking about their next run. And when we start out running, I don't think we may realise how much it gets in on us in a nice way, that you miss it if you don't do it. And it's not even necessarily the physical health benefits. It's the mental health benefits. It's how much it clears your head. It's the energy it gives you. Possibly even, I know for myself, for writing, the creativity you get from just that time out on your own.
Look, I understand. I'm married to a marathon runner as well. Aileen's running the Boston Marathon, as it happens, in April, which will be her sixth. But I just don't get why you would put yourself under the physical strain, because it does cause issues, even if you are adopting the correct techniques and whatever, and if you do your training, the injuries, the knees, the various other things. Surely there does come a time when you actually say, actually, too much running is not good for you.
And the definition of what is too much running, you know, I say I got out a couple of times at the moment, not training for any particular event. I think if you're training full on high intensity all the time in any sport, it's not good for you. Everything is about balance. You know, say there your wife training up for the marathon. She'll train up for the marathon, she'll work hard for it. But I'm assuming and hoping that on the other side of it, she'll take a break back from that, let the body recover. And when you're training up for something like a marathon, it is so important to look after what you do the rest of the time when you're not running. That's nearly more important than the running itself. It's a bit of a full-time job, as you probably know, between the food and the rest and the complementary things. You know, I'm not denying that running is an impact on the body, but it's how much of an impact you let it be. You know, you have different surfaces you can run on. The enjoyment factor and the feel-good factor for most people far outweigh the fact that they need to spend 5 or 10 minutes stretching or loosening out.
But afterwards, one thing that's on the cover of the book, it says, forget the gym. Why do you say forget the gym?
Forget the gym, I suppose, is my name of the company, because for me, I was the type of person who was very intimidated by the gym or didn't feel comfortable in there. And I think absolutely, if you enjoy the gym and if that's your choice of fitness, go for it and keep going. Because I think a lot of us spend a lot of time searching for something that we enjoy. But I think a lot of people don't enjoy it and they, you know, drive past it feeling guilty. They pay their money and then they end up not going. So it's about trying to get out the door or do something different completely, whether it's dance or walking or running.
So what does the book offer people?
It offers you a starting point, firstly, from where you are right now. So I have sections for people who are starting to run, people who are making a comeback. There's lots of people talking about getting back to running but never getting there. And then also structured training plans to bring you up to the long distance if that's the way you want to go. And throughout it, I've put in little stories about people I've coached over the years, beginners, people training for first events and people coming back from illnesses or certain setbacks.
Coming back from illnesses. And how important is it that people get a proper medical checkup before they attempt to become a runner?
Yeah, I think it's important that you have a clean bill of health, you know, starting into anything. If you have any concerns, just chat to your doctor and see. More likely than not, they'll encourage you to start out and get moving. I think with everything, you listen to your body. You know, you don't start off doing this and expect to be the runner you were 10 years ago. You take it easy and gradually and leave the ego at home and just, you know, build up very slowly. And then as time goes on, you'll start to see where it feels good or what parts of your body you might need to pay more attention to.
Mary Jennings is the author of Get Running, Forget the Gym, Get Fit, Have Fun. Thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.